I have an opportunity to do the scripture reading this morning. My name is Mark Applin, and I'm one of the members of the board here. The scripture reading will be coming from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11 from the New Living Translation. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and discipled in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him, forever and ever. Amen.
What advice would you give someone who's trying to find a first date today? I'm sure you got lots of ideas. When I was writing this message, I was listening to a Christian psychologist on a podcast, and he was talking about how difficult it is for people these days to find a date, to find a spouse. And he said, partly joking, but not fully joking, he said, you know what the first step would be in finding a date? He said, is make yourself dateable. Make yourself dateable. You know, we are continuing on in our series, Strengthening Church Relationships, and we find a similar problem in the church, not about dating, but that people can't find friends. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor over the last 30 years I have heard the same phrases said to me over and over. I don't fit in. I can't find a friend. I know, Ida. I don't know anybody. These things over and over and over again. And while this series is not about making you dateable, this series is about making you friendable. And I'm going to use that word, even though if you Google it now, that's not a word. But I'm going to use that word, friendable. Okay? We're going to use that one this morning. So today we're going to look at two often overlooked and under-practiced directives in the New Testament, which are greeting and hospitality. Did you know that the Bible commands the New Testament church, us, we are the New Testament church, to kiss each other? Did you know that? And not just once, not just twice. Five times we are told to kiss each other. How do you feel about that? Now, the verses that I'm going to show you in our New Living Translation doesn't translate that phrase literally as kiss each other. It does something else, but we'll see why that's important in a moment. It says, greet each other in Christian love, Paul writes to the Romans. He writes to the church in Corinth. He says, greet each other with Christian love. He says the exact same thing in the next letter he writes, greet each other with Christian love. He writes to the Thessalonians, he says, greet all the brothers and sisters with Christian love. Remember, this is literally kiss each other. Give each other a holy kiss. And finally, Peter gets in on this, and he says, greet each other with Christian love. So literally, this is kiss each other, give each other a holy kiss. You might be aware there was not a lot of kissing this morning as you came in. We generally don't do that. In fact, I'm guessing across Canada this morning, there was a general disregard for the literal command of kissing each other in greeting in churches. But, as many of you know, kiss greetings are pretty common in other parts of the world. Europe, Latin America, the Middle East, Mediterranean, that's normal. When you see someone, to give them a kiss. And in fact, if you are in France, Italy, Spain, Brazil, Argentina, or Lebanon, you can count on 2 to 3 kisses, alternating cheeks. Now, I want to give a free piece of advice. If you find yourself in a kissing culture, go to your right. Okay? Go to your right. It's okay in a kissing culture if both of you get it right. It's okay if both of you get it wrong. But when one gets it right and one gets wrong, it gets awkward really fast. So that's your free tip for this morning. You're welcome. Now, culturally, we Christians, we love our space, don't we? We love our space, which is why we don't like sitting next to someone we don't know. And in fact, in churches, they build church buildings so that you can have way more seats than people are going to come, because we Canadians like to have a little barrier, a little buffer sometimes. And those of you sitting in the back know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, we also apologize when we bump into people because we've invaded their personal space. So Canadians, generally, we're pretty reserved, right? We'll shake hands. If we know someone, we may give them a hug, but kiss greetings are pretty rare. And maybe this is something that's kind of grown over time, because I was watching a couple of shows that were made in the 70s, and on these shows, people greeted each other with kisses on the mouth. Males to females, as though it was no big deal. This is just the way you say hello. And I thought, man, have we gotten kind of even more distant? COVID probably didn't do as much favors in that regard. Why the command 5 times to kiss each other? Don't you find that odd? Now, you might be sitting back and you're going, well, that's just how they said hello back then. That's what I thought. But think about it, just for a moment. Why would Paul and Peter command the church to do something they're going to do anyway? That makes no sense. So what is it about this command that's different? And that's why modern Bibles, like our NLT, get the meaning and not just the words. It's not just a kiss, it's a greeting of love. So churches are not commanded to perform some ritual greeting, a motion of politeness already part of their culture. There's really 2 elements to this command, the what and the how. First of all, the what. The what is we are to greet each other. Well, what's the opposite of greeting each other? Well, I suppose, you know, when you see a brother and sister in Christ, you could fold your arms and furrow your brows and scowl at them. But more likely, what's more likely to happen in churches is we ignore each other. Is that not the case? We don't say anything. Many people in Canadian churches today are ignored. It's a tragedy. And let's be honest, we've all done it. We've all done it. Maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, maybe regularly, maybe sporadically. But the command remains that we are to greet one another. This requires intentionality, being aware of your surroundings, who's around you. It requires effort and maybe some social discomfort. That's the what. And you'll note the Bible never says, wait to be greeted. Did you know that? The Bible never says, wait to be greeted. And it never says, evaluate how many greetings you received and the quality of each one. Never says that. For followers of Jesus, we are to greet one another. And then there's the how. How are we to do it? It says greet one another in Christian love. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to greet one another in Christian love? It means you greet someone regardless of whether they've hurt or disappointed you. You greet them whether they vote like you, think like you, dress like you, talk like you, spend like you, raise their children like you, or interpret scripture like you. To greet in Christian love means you see them as co-heirs of the kingdom, fully equal to you, fellow sinners who are gloriously saved by God's grace and by the cross of Christ. When you greet in Christian love, you are not just greeting your favorite people. When you greet in Christian love, it means you see value in all people and that they are worthy of a warm welcome. Here's a question for you. Have you ever walked into a room and been ignored. How did that make you feel? Did it make you feel small, insignificant, alone, unloved? I've been there. I think unless you're a celebrity, we've all been there. But here's the thing this morning. Do you know, and I'm talking to followers of Jesus right now, do you know you have the ability to stop that feeling in other people by the way that you treat them, by the way that you welcome them, by the way that you greet them? You have that power to take away that small, sad, unloved feeling from them and replace it with something else. You replace it with something that says, you are worthy. I'm so glad to see you. You have that ability by God's grace to do that every single time you get together with other believers. That may be your greatest ministry on a Sunday morning, is taking away that feeling of being unloved or unimportant. I wonder, how many times could you be ignored in a service like this, in a place like this, before you'd stop coming? Some time ago, there was a traveling salesman who performed an experiment, and then he wrote the results to Dear Abby in the newspaper. Now, for those of you who are under 40, let me translate what I just said to you. This is what I just said. There was a remote worker one day who did some research, and then he posted the results on Instagram. Okay? He visited 190 churches, and he said other than official greeters, three people talked to him to welcome him. In 190 churches. Now here's the thing. I am convinced with all of my being that people will not stay in a church long term for good music. Nope. They're not going to do it. People will not stay in a church long term for good preaching. Nope. They're not going to stay in a church long-term for quality programming. But they will stay long-term if they feel loved. So followers of Jesus are called to love people in the church as an extension of God's own love for us. So to sum up, this is what you and I are called to do in Scripture five times. Greet people. Which means go out of our way to find the most ignored and welcome them. In love, which means to express genuine enthusiasm that they are in your presence, expressing God's love for them and their value to God and this church. And I encourage you this morning to consider becoming an enthusiastic greeter of people around you, to make them feel loved and to watch, and then watch, by the way, how many will want to be your friend. See, welcoming people are friendable people. Welcoming people are friendable people. I mean, who would you want to be friends with? Someone that is so happy to see you every time they're in your presence, or someone that just ignores you? It's a no-brainer, right? But we wonder, why can't I find friends? Welcoming people are friendable people. Now, I could stop there, but I'll keep going, because there's one more thing. Welcoming not only includes greeting, it includes hospitality. And we get into the what, who, and how of that. First of all, the what. It says, always be eager to practice hospitality. That's what. We are to practice hospitality. We are to open up our homes. To who? Who is the next thing? Well, in Hebrews we read this. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some have done this. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Now, that brings up a lot of questions. But don't miss the main point. Hospitality at least includes strangers, people you don't know. And how are we to do it? How are we to be hospitable? Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay, we are told in 1 Peter 4. Which means no grumbling. about them talking with their mouth open. It means no muttering about how they asked for a second can of Coke, which was a no-no in our home. I don't know about yours. And there's no silently steaming while they put their feet on your coffee table right on Grandma Ma's doily. Hospitality is treated throughout the Bible very seriously. I don't know if you knew this, but it was considered an evil for hospitality to be withheld. Well, what is hospitality exactly? Well, I've read about this in a few different books, and I've collected some definitions for you this morning. I'm saving you a lot of reading time here. I hope you really appreciate it. Here's some definitions. Hospitality is the art of making people want to stay without interfering with their departure. It's making them want to stay. I hope you want to stay here. Here's another. Hospitality is making people feel comfortable in a new environment. Very good, very good. Hospitality is giving the privileges of insiders to outsiders. I love that. Here's the last one. Hospitality is refreshing and welcoming others with the same things that refresh and resource you. I think there are some signs if people really feel welcome in your home. Here's just a few of them. I think someone really feels welcome in your home if they just go up and get their own drink. I think people feel really welcome in their home, in your home, if they go to use the bathroom without asking. And finally, they feel really welcome in your home if they just go to the fridge and find a snack for themselves. They feel very welcome in your home at that point. Wouldn't you say? Yeah. Now, if you're looking for a real challenge in this area of hospitality, I'd recommend Rosaria Butterfield's book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, Practicing Radically Ordinary Hospitality in a Post-Christian World. And while she has many suggestions on how to practice hospitality, she makes a great point in this book that I want to share with you. She said, "Our homes are not our castles. They are not even ours." That was a good word for me. Hospitality seems to be getting to be a lost art these days. And I've noticed in the churches that I've been, even when there's a call put out to house a traveling musician or a international worker or something, can you open up your home and have people over for one night? Crickets. Just crickets. Nothing. And so we end up having to put them up in a hotel, which seems rather cold and inhospitable. It seems like hospitality is something the church was better at decades ago. And you know, while some people pray for revival in the church, that's awesome, maybe a sign of revival will be when we do what we are commanded to do, like welcoming people enthusiastically and practicing hospitality. Maybe that's a sign of revival. So let's be honest, though. There are some blockages to practicing hospitality. And these blockages are idols in our lives. There are certain idols that block hospitality. First one, and this is all about our reputation, where our place, we feel, is just not nice enough. It's not spacious enough. It's not fun enough. It's not clean enough. It's not enough. I mean, we think if people came to my home and they saw how I live, what will they think of me? So we decline hospitality. Then there's belongings. We worship our belongings. It's not that our stuff is not nice enough. It's that it's too nice. If you have people over, they're going to mark up your floors. They're going to get their grubby hands and your nicely painted handrail. They're going to use the towels in the bathroom that are only there for show. So, you know, with stuff more than people, we will decline to practice hospitality. A third idol is our time. Time is a gift that can never be returned. And once it's spent for good. Hospitality for many of us in this room means squeezing our marginless schedules even further, adding to a timetable that is already buckling under pressure. When we value our time more than people, we will decline to practice hospitality. And finally, the last one is our comfort. And this is true especially for those of us who are introverted. Because it's just more comfortable to share a space with people that we're already very familiar with. Family, our spouse, very good friends. If you give your home to people that you don't necessarily know well, it drains our social batteries. But if we value our comfort more than people, we will decline to practice hospitality. The good news is there are many ways to practice hospitality. For some of us, it comes naturally. For others, we have to work at it. But here's the good news. The specifics of hospitality, how you do it, how often, are not told. So there's great creativity. The point is this. All followers of Jesus are to open their homes. And this is so important. This actually became a requirement of eldership. Did you know that? Elders have to practice hospitality. If you don't believe me, Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "So an elder must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must enjoy having guests in his home." And this is repeated almost word for word in Titus as well. That's how important hospitality is. It was a requirement for leadership. Now, you and I are wired for relationship with God and others. And hospitality opens the door for relationships with people. We live in a desperately lonely world. At the same time, hospitality seems to be a lost art. Is that a coincidence? We often think we need to impress people in hospitality. Here's a little secret. Most people are just happy to be included. We often think that hospitality means adding more to our schedule. But in reality, it's quite often just inviting people into stuff that you're already doing anyway. You know, some of you in the next few weeks are going to be watching a lot of hockey. Invite someone along. How hard is that? Hey, you want to come over and watch the game? Sometimes those in the audience will lose their minds. I think what he meant to say was only Oiler fans, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Well, that's going to throw me right off now. But hospitality, let's get back to our point. Hospitality, it does take practice, it takes creativity and intentionality. And God, here's the good news. God is pleased with your every step forward. Pleased with your every step forward. Remember, welcoming people are friendable people. And one more thing to keep in mind, hospitality does not mean it's always a one-way street, a giver and a receiver. In fact, in a relationship, as you know, it's give and take, right? So when you're going over to someone's place, bring something with you. If you're inviting someone over, ask them to bring something significant. Make it a give and take thing. Now, one close to final question here. Why did God inspire Paul and others to focus on welcoming so often? Why does this keep coming up in the letters to the churches over and over and over? If I could put the answer into one phrase, I believe the answer is human worth. Human worth. Every human you see in God's eyes is worthy of his life. Have you ever thought of it that way? It's worthy of the life of the Son of God. That's an infinite price. Everyone you lock eyes with is worthy of an infinite price. Now, that's unique to Christianity, by the way. For those of you who might just be checking out Christianity, here's some things to think about. There are other worldviews out there. Is materialism. Materialism says there is no spiritual reality. There's only matter. There's just stuff. That's all there is in the universe. Well, in that worldview, humans are a biological accident formed at random over millions of years. You are no more valuable than a mosquito in materialism. What about pantheism? One of the other great worldviews. adhered to by many in our culture. Pantheism says everything is God. Well, in that worldview, humans are just part of the universe, part of the all source. They're no more valuable than the pebbles in the parking lot. But in Christianity, humans are infinitely valuable, made in God's image, worthy of the cross of Christ and worthy to be welcome. This makes greetings to other believers holy. Remember, the literal in the Greek is a holy kiss. Holy means separate, distinct. A Christian greeting doesn't just say, I have feelings for you or you are important to me. It says you are infinitely valuable. It is a privilege to be in your presence. We are God's temple, his people, Christ's body. A holy greeting is not concerned if your theology is the same as mine, if your behavior disappoints me, if you look funny, dress funny, or talk funny, because Christians do not welcome each other the way the world welcomes people. To Christians, other Christians are not just fellow creations, they are family. Even our welcomings are distinct. We greet one another with enthusiasm regardless of our feelings. That's distinct. That's a holy greeting. We open up our homes to people regardless of what we may think of them, whether we know them or not. That is distinct. It is holy. It is set apart. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about our vision as a church. And some of you know this already, but this is how welcoming people fits into our vision. And this is so important. Everyone a servant. To welcome people, to take the time to welcome people, to be hospitable, that is an act of servanthood. You are saying, your comfort is more important than mine. I am going to greet you. That is servant. If everyone did that, imagine the type of church we'd have. What about everyone a faith trainer? Do you know what? People are watching you. They are watching you. If you're a follower of Jesus, people are watching you. You are training other people in how to welcome others through your example. You are faith training people by example. Everyone a worshiper. Jesus told us to do this. He told us to welcome each other enthusiastically. He told us to practice hospitality. This is our act of worship, is to obey. This is us saying, Jesus, if you ask me to do this, this is my worship to you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up out of my chair. I'm going to greet people. I'm going to make them feel welcome and at home. And finally, and this is the most important one in my mind, everyone growing in grace, because in this particular case, and I hope people understand, I hope all of you understand, this whole series is based on this, but it's only by God's grace that you will see the value in other people to get up and actually greet them. You only see the value in other people to open up your homes to them. It is by God's grace that he overcomes our fears and our hang-ups and our discomfort to do these things. It is God's grace that grows us to do these things, you see? That's why we need to grow in grace so we mature as believers. All the things, all the covenant, this whole thing depends on grace. We cannot... Don't try to do this on your own. You'll never make it. This is why your time with God every day is so important. Because it is in that time that God infuses you with the grace for that day. That is your daily bread. Okay. Settle down, Pastor. Settle down. All right. If you want good friends, be a good friend. If you want good friends, be a good friend. Good friends greet one another like the lost has been found. Right? Good friends have people in their homes sharing resources with them. So we get to our friendship covenant. We're going to add to it this morning. And we're going to add this to our friendship covenant. Regarding welcoming, I will welcome you enthusiastically. Now, if you did that on a regular basis, how much more friendable would you be? If you had more people in your home, how much more friendable would you be? Not rocket science, right? To greet people at church, at our home, at the grocery store, at the park, whenever I see you, I say, you know what? Whenever I see you, whether it's here, whether it's out in the wild, it doesn't matter. I will welcome you enthusiastically. I'm going to be excited to see you by God's grace. May the Lord strengthen Knack to be, by his grace, to be a lovingly greeting and warmly hospitable church. Amen. We are going to now go to the cross of Christ table. And I want us, if you are serving, please make your way to the tables. I want us to look at this passage from Philippians. It says, you must, follower of Jesus, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Do you know there is no one in the universe more humble than God? Do you know that? Because humble means having an absolute accurate picture of who you are. No one is more humble than God. And as we know him, we become like him. The cross was an act of humility, and we are to be humble. This means, in our humility, people, and not waiting to be welcomed. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, which means putting aside our comfort, our idols, our self-serving attitude, coming with the same attitude of Christ, here to serve. I will welcome you enthusiastically. Call for every humble servant. May it be the call of every follower of Jesus in the Nanaimo Alliance Church. And just before we go and remember the Lord's table, aren't you glad, follower of Jesus, I'm talking to you, aren't you glad that despite all your faults, God welcomed you enthusiastically? God gave you a holy kiss and welcomed you into his family. So our response today, when you get up out of your chair, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've repented of your sins, you've put your trust in Christ to save you, you're going to go to one of three tables, and you're going to get a cracker representing his body, you're going to get a cup of juice representing his blood. And I want you to consider this morning, as you were getting up and doing that, and then you're going to come back and sit down, I want you to consider what idols God asking you to repent this morning. What is he asking you to lay down so that you could be a greeting Christian, that you could be a hospitable Christian? One final thing. When you're considering greeting and hospitality, consider those who are the least likely to be greeted and the least likely to be invited. Don't look at staff. We get lots of invitations. We get lots of greetings. Look at the people around this room that are the most easily ignored. Invite them. Greet them. That is what God would have you do this morning. So, if you can't get up out of your chair to get to one of the tables, just put your hand up and someone will come to you. And when you get back and everyone's seated again, we will remember the humble cross of Christ together. Jesus told a story. Many of you are familiar with it, the story of the prodigal son, where one of this dad's boys basically insulted him and went off and did his own thing and lived a wild life. And then he realized, this is awful. And so he wanted to come back to his dad, but as a servant, not as a son. Such a tender picture of this dad. When he saw his son coming, he ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him repeatedly. I don't know of a more enthusiastic welcome than that. And aren't you glad, as a follower of Jesus, that was his welcome to you? He came running to you, threw his arms around you, and kissed you repeatedly. So glad you are home. And you know, as we become more like Christ, we will start to value people like that. We will start to value relationships. So this morning we remember our Savior, our humble Savior, who went to the cross for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your body that was broken for us. We honor you. We remember you. Everyone take and eat. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood that was spilled for us, so that we could be greeted by you as your children. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone take and drink.